The battle for Bridge 28 along the Quangtri River was a bloody three-day fight that wounded or killed half of Michael Norman's Marine Company. Norman came back to the States from Vietnam intact. In 1984, when he was a columnist for the New York Times, Norman decided to track down the men from his platoon who survived the 1968 battle. His memoir, These Good Men, chronicles the search and subsequent reunion. I asked him why he wanted to get together with his Marine buddies.
Well, there were two reasons, essentially. One, I think all men who come home from war, who have ever come home from any war, for that matter, come home bewildered. And that bewilderment can last for a very long time, in my case, 10 to 15 years. You have a sense that you've gone through a monumental experience, and having gone through that, one figures that one must have learned something from that. And I wanted to know what it was that I had learned on the battlefield. And the second thing that that set me on my search was a longing to be close to the men that I once knew well on the battlefield. When men are together on the battlefield, there's nothing to keep them apart. There's no competition for jobs. There's no women. There is no family. There's not even very much ego involved. And you get closer to those men than you get closer to just about anybody else in the world. And I longed for that. I wanted some of that again.
What were the initial responses you got from the men when you tracked them down, called them up, or sent them a letter and suggested that you get together? Was everybody enthusiastic about it?
For the most part, I think the story of the first man is might be the most interesting. His name's Craig Belknap, and he was hurt the worst of all of us, terribly wounded at Bridge 28. We talked for a while, and at first he kind of didn't remember me, and then he instantly did after his memory was jogged. And then I said to him, Craig, I'm somewhat reluctant to, you know, go through with this project because I feel like an interloper. I don't want to stir up the memory of these other men if they don't want their memories stirred up. And he said to me, you've got to do it. You can't worry about that. You've just got to do what you think is right. And as it turned out, they had the same longing I did. They were just absolutely delighted. They had the same 100 questions that I did. Questions as simple as, you know, where were you when, and questions as fundamental as, you know, what do we go on to do with our lives now?
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I really value about friends from the past, old friends, is that they help you figure out what it is you imagined that happened to you and what actually happened. 'Cause you know the feeling of sometimes not knowing
Yes.
if you made something up or not?
Yes.
How did your memories of the war change? Were there stories that had existed in your mind that you found out weren't quite the way it happened? Did you get a different sense of what the truth really was?
Yeah, actually, one story in particular. I thought that there was a lieutenant that I was particularly angry with during the course of the battle, whose behavior I thought was not quite right. I thought he was not aggressive enough, and that some men got hurt because of that. And as it turned out, my memory of that night was not exactly correct. But I guess my anger at him over the years had been so intense that it had literally changed my memory of the events. So you're quite correct. One of the interesting things about going back over old ground is that it doesn't quite turn in the same way that you remembered it.
So for that, you experienced relief. Was there another circumstance in which, in looking back at the past, you experienced more regret and realized you didn't act as well as you thought you had?
No, I don't think so. You know, it's an interesting question, and I'll tell you why. I don't think there's a man who has ever gone into battle that afterward doesn't question his own actions. Did I move fast enough at the second I should have moved? Was I in the place that I should have been? One of the characters in the book who's dead, who sort of informs the book, is a kid who took my place 2 hours before the battle in the line of march. I was sort of promoted up. And he walked out into a spot and was killed, and in effect walked into my spot and was killed. And as he was shot, he yelled out on the radio for me to help him. He screamed out my name, and I desperately wanted to get forward, but couldn't. I couldn't get one of the officers to move the company forward as quickly as I wanted to. I might have been wrong. Who knows? But so I have thought about that. Of course, that has haunted me, and I think you won't find a man who has seen heavy combat that isn't haunted by the same kind of memory.
You mentioned the Marine who took your place when you were promoted and who was killed in that battle for Bridge 28. His name was Jim Payne. And after the war, you actually tried to contact his father so you could share with him the real story of what happened and in a way, I guess, confess that sense of guilt which haunted you. But the father didn't want to meet with you about it. Would you tell us what happened?
I called him up, and I said, his name was Andrew James Payne, Sr., and I said, "Mr. Payne, this is Mike Norman," and sort of explained the situation, and I said, I'd like to come out to San Diego, where they were living at the time, or Glenfield, actually, and visit you. And he said, "Look, I got to tell you, it's just too damn hard. I can't do it, Mike, and, the other day I just took the last box of Jim's clothes out of the house and gave them away to the Salvation Army, and it's too damn hard. I can't go back through it again." And, you know, obviously I respected his wishes, and but I didn't want to close the door quite yet myself. And I don't like to use the word healing because I don't think it was more than that. I think I moved from a state of darkness, if you will, to use a simple metaphor, into a state of light. That is to say, from a state of confusion and bewilderment into what I think now is a state of understanding. I think I understand now what happened to us. I understand now that it's possible to bring something off of the battlefield other than a profound sense of loss and an excruciating sense of waste. And I think what you bring off the battlefield is the knowledge that I have seen human beings at the best you will ever see human beings. I have seen that men stripped right down to their humanity, and I will never see men act as noble and as fine as I saw them act in Vietnam.
You organized a reunion at your house for the men that you contacted. And I'm wondering about how the dynamics between you changed in peacetime, in a backyard reunion. What I'm thinking of is, you know, on the battlefield, the relationships are based partially on strength and power and bravery and medical ability, being quick-witted, and then, you know, in a backyard, talking 20 years later, it's just different. You know, someone doesn't have to medevac you out. Someone doesn't have to pull you in from the gunfire. Do you know what I mean? The dynamics must completely change.
Yeah, they do. Actually, if you know, we've all sort of seen each other now over the course of the last 5 years since I began to reach out to these guys, and what draws us together now, of course, is a common sense of history. But what also keeps us together now is this, and I know I don't want to sound misty-eyed about this, but I get a sense of peace when I'm in the company of these other men. I wish I knew where that came from. I think I'm just, thank God it's there. It's just, it's quite a remarkable thing.
Physically, what surprised you about the men who you fought with?
Well, I'm going to go back to this, the first guy that I talked to, and in many ways the man that I've become closest to since, Craig Belknap. When I first went to visit him at his house in Mesquite, Texas, the first night we talked for, 4 or 5 hours, and long about midnight, we began to talk about his wounds, and at one point he got up from his chair, and he took off all his clothes, and he was standing naked before me on the rug, explaining his scars to me. And, you know, his body was just horribly scarred, and I looked up at him and thought to myself, this is the part of the war that I missed. You know, I spent 13 months in combat, but other than a few scratches and a bout with malaria, I came home whole. But this is the part of the war that I missed, the suffering of it. And I must say to you, looking at him, I began to ache. I physically began to ache. And I got an understanding about the war that I never had before. A profound understanding that I never had before.
So did the reunion make you feel lucky, lucky to be whole, lucky by comparison?
Yes. Whenever you think of the dead and the wounded, you feel extraordinarily lucky. And I think the men who survive and come home, without saying so, make up their minds to lead useful, meaningful lives. It's almost like you have an obligation to do something with your life, having been lucky enough to survive the battlefield. And I think every time that one of them doesn't perform up to his own expectations, whatever it is he's doing, I think that that's going on in the back of his mind, that, I made it, God damn it, I better do something with my life.
You know, we were talking about old friends and how you get together and talk about the past and kind of figure out what really happened and what you imagined over the years. What I find sometimes is after you've gone over those memories a certain number of times, you can't really talk about them anymore. You have to move on to the present. And at some point, a relationship that's based in the past redefines itself, and either there's a base in the present or the relationship starts to fade. Do you feel like you've been able to do that with your Marine friends, to build a relationship that has a foot in the present as well as the past?
Yes, we, particularly the guys on the East Coast, we get together, you know, 2 or 3 times a year now, and there's absolutely almost no storytelling. The history is taken for granted, I guess, is the simplest, quickest way to express it.
Well, Michael Norman, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Well, I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Michael Norman is a freelance writer and author of These Good Men, Friendships Forged from War. It's published by Crown.